They better damn sure be aggressive in free agency. They have to. What's this agent doing? I think that's jumping on a carcass over there.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is back in the flesh. No phone calls for Ira Kaufman. He's the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer, and the franchise tag opportunity is over. It's in the books. Only three guys in the NFL got tagged. Mike Evans was not one of them. I'm Steve Isbiss of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Ira, you know what's coming on Thursday at noon?
Well, it's got something to do with Bill Curry Ford. I'll tell you that right now.
You are absolutely right, Ira. It is the 65th anniversary of Bill Curry Ford.
Wow.
And you know who's going to be there? Elena Ford, the granddaughter of Edsel Ford, one of the great innovators and the son of Henry Ford, is going to be speaking there, but they've got a whole big party.
Think I could charm her? Could I charm her? I don't know how old she is, but I could put the Irish stick on her.
You an Irish stick, really?
I got stick.
Stick. Does she own part of the lion?
I have no idea, but we're going to find out at noon Thursday. Bill Curry Ford, 65 years, the Curry family has owned the dealership. They run the dealership, and they always have good food and good things going on and some sort of charity hook, and I'm sure it's going to be a heck of a day. Mike Allstott, Martine Gramatica usually show up for anything, Bill Curry Ford. So if you're looking for a vehicle and you want to come out and just have support a great event, talk to Sean Sullivan maybe about the NFL draft. He's our draft guru.
Is it going to be all afternoon, Steve, do you think?
12 o'clock. All right. You want to be there at 12 o'clock. Of course, you can get there a little before. It'll be going. I can't tell you an exact ending time, Ira. But
if you want to eat, you better get there before I get there. That's true.
Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, he has the Ira Kaufman discount. And, of course, they're the giant. You can take a peek at the largest service department in Florida, which is a sight to behold. But shop now for a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. 0% financing is back. No payments for 90 days. BillCurryFord.com. Our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, we'll talk about them later. But if you have a disaster at your property, Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. Get there now. See what they're all about. Put them in your favorites so you know who to call 24/7 when you have a problem. Ira?
There's a rumor you're putting a franchise tag on me, Steve. Is that true?
No.
The going rate's $22 million.
Off the Pewter Report you go. All right, Ira, look. We have got to get your perspective because you soaked in all this combine stuff from a distance.
You boys did a fabulous job. Fabulous job on site.
And you listened to the interviews. Lee sent you audio of sidebar stuff. You watched. You listened. You were on the call with Todd Bowles, Jason Light on our previous podcast. You can catch up on that. Bottom line, what was one of your biggest takeaways from everything you soaked in at the Combine?
Well, Lee, I was looking for a little deeper explanation for the collapse other than injuries. I wanted more. Maybe I'm asking for something that can't be. Maybe I'm asking for, like, not enough guys wanted it badly enough. And I think Todd Bowles intimated that with his post-game rant after the Atlanta game.
Absolutely.
Am I right, Lee?
No, you're not.
You got to look in the mirror. It's got to hurt.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ira, because it wasn't just Todd Bowles. It was Lavonte David coming out and saying that. It was Baker Mayfield coming out and saying that. It wasn't just the coach. So you're absolutely correct.
As far as Bowles is concerned, Lee, I wanted him to own a little bit more of what happened. Own it. We don't want Buck fans don't want to hear we got to coach it better and they got to play it better. They don't want to hear execution.
No, they don't.
And they don't want to hear execution, you know, unless the ghost of John McKay was saying it, you know, in 1977.
I'm all for it.
This thing, Lee, I want to talk about this. This suggestion, and you were there. You tell me how much you thought he dwelled on it, but Todd, with the defense, what happened? Well, I don't think he legitimately could focus on injuries on that side of the ball, and I don't think he did, necessarily. And I don't mind like talking about the offensive line in transition. I think that's legitimate. Even worse wasn't himself. Even worse.
True.
And Gedeke missed a lot of time.
Yes. And Cody, and we can go along.
And the center might, you know, struggled at times.
He had lousy guards on either side of him.
But for Bowles, Lee, the suggestion, well, having Grizzard's inexperience over there on the other side of the ball, it sort of preoccupied me a little. It took my focus away from what I naturally hone in on. I don't know if I'm buying it, Lee. I just don't know if I'm buying it. I think Bowles spent plenty of time on that defense. And you know me. Mm-hmm. I don't think the talent's there in the front seven. I think that's a significant part of it. He didn't coach great, certainly. Far from it. But the suggestion about Grizzard, I think that's jumping on a carcass over there.
Possibly. Here's my angle from it. He also said, and this was kind of alarming, Grizzard was 2 to 3 years away from being a good offense coordinator. And I'm thinking to myself, well, who hired this guy? Who hired him? Joel Glazer? Was it Light?
Isn't that basically saying you made a mistake? Basically?
To me, yeah.
And it hurt the team.
Yeah.
It hurt the team.
Yeah. You know, would I have liked to heard more in detail? Yeah. A couple of people tried to press him on his defense. He either kind of bristled or he busted out laughing. What was he busted out laughing for when he said...
About the complex? How complex
yeah,
it is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He busted out laughing. Now, you know, I'll say this real quick. When he laughed, he goes, oh, it's not complex. We have heard from two very intelligent individuals. One guy's in the Hall of Fame. The other guy played for Bowles.
You can't laugh off Rondé Barber.
Rondé Barber and Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan's a very sharp guy. Logan Ryan has come out, as has Rondé Barber, but Logan Ryan has firsthand knowledge. He played for Bowles. Yes, this is complex. So it reminds me of, you know, someone who's a Luddite, and they bring their computer to get fixed at the repair shop, and the guy said, oh, this is easy. The only thing I do is this hard drive, that hard drive, and do this and do that, blah, blah. And you're like, what the hell's he talking about, Swahili? He goes, oh, it's simple. That's that remind me of. There's a detachment there, I think.
Yeah, Bowles is in denial that his defense is complex, Ira, and he pushed back on a couple of media, basically assumptive style questions.
That's a good word there, Stevie. Good word.
That the defense is complex, and he was even like, it's not, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was like scoffing at the notion. Now, I'll say this. We've listened to Chris Braswell, Jose Ramirez, if you remember him, the practice squad warrior at edge rusher, and Yaya Diaby. And Bowles, on behalf of Yaya Diaby, all of them have said as an edge rusher, it's very difficult to learn the defense as a rookie. And Braswell was talking about, well, you know, year two, he's like, well, you know, this year I kind of know the playbook. It's just that should tell Bowles and everybody else something as well, that it is difficult. And Servacia Dennis didn't exactly have a guy who's been there a while. He gets on the field. He's an athletic guy. He didn't seem to have a good grasp of what was going on. Now, that might be him, but that also might be the defense.
So, Lee, when they had success with Sue and JPP and Shaq Barrett, those were veteran players, Lee.
They were veteran players, and I think what I'm about to tell you, and I'm not trying to get anybody upset, I'm not trying to cut anybody down, but when those guys were on the team, Bowles was not the head coach. So it very well could be Arians was telling Bowles, well, do this, don't do that, do this. And I'm not saying Arians was heavy-handed. I'm saying that Arians probably gave Bowles a worksheet, for lack of a better term, some sort of, I don't even know how to word it.
Template?
I guess template. Some sort of template, like follow this, Todd, whatever you want to do, as long as you follow this template. I really believe that.
Sage, now you said you wish you would have had more of an answer as to what went wrong. Why did you collapse? And I know you mentioned this guy already, but my thought was, man, he gave the biggest answer of all. He took Josh Grizzard by the hair and just hurled him under the bus and pulled him back, threw him under the next car that drove by.
He was a handy explanation.
He was, and you guys kind of laughed at me a little bit. The last month or so, I kept saying on this podcast, fall guy Josh Grizzard, it's all his fault. And you know what? They hurled him right under the bus.
Did Light talk about it too?
No.
No. I kind of agreed with that he was going to be the fall guy.
Well, just the way I was pushing it, you know, that they believe that he was the fall guy.
Real quick, Ira, I asked Todd right to his face, did the decision to make all these coaching changes that come from above, you know, higher up?
I'm glad you asked that.
And he said, no, it was me. I asked him if it came up higher up the flagpole. He said, no.
One thing from Light that I didn't hear, Lee, all I heard was some intimation. I wanted to hear it bluntly.
Chris Braswell's going to...
No, a blunt assessment that there's a talent shortage on the front seven on defense.
He said that.
Did he say it?
He did.
Yeah. He said, we need help.
He didn't blame it on Bowles misusing the talent that's there.
He said, we need help.
Well, good. I'm glad that's an acknowledgement from Light. That's an acknowledgement. And I've been strong on that, Lee. You haven't been as strong. on the talent shortage. You're more like they're misusing the guys.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, what guys? I mean, you know.
Ira, your thought on Jason.
And by the way, if they're counting on David Walker to fix this pass rush problem, if that's in any way going to stop their urgency to fill that need, I'll be absolutely floored.
It would be awesome to see him make the Pro Bowl, but I just think, and I'm not trying to get anybody mad, but banking on David Walker, who has yet to complete a full padded practice, is an asinine reach.
You know
I'm
what
sorry.
He is, Steve? He'd be a great bonus. If it happens,
bingo.
He adds to it.
Bingo.
You don't count on him.
Thank you.
You don't count on
Thank
him.
You.
I don't fault the Bucs for talking about him because they don't have anyone else to talk about. Okay, I mean, everybody knows Yaya Diaby's a good player. We'll see if he can take the next step. But he's been a good draft pick, and that's that.
By the way, you were talking.
What other edge rusher do they have to talk about?
Steve, you were talking about Bowles' defense being too complex at times for rookies. I didn't see Braswell make a big jump in year two.
No, I
Where's
didn't.
The jump?
No, no leap. Tryon Shanka made no leap. Sage, what did you think of Jason Light saying? And he made it crystal clear to anybody who really wanted to listen to it, and most people don't want to hear it.
He said it more than once.
He, in multiple interviews, he made it very clear. We feel good about our plan. The way we've built this team, that we can get back to where we were and better, and we're on the right track. And basically he was saying we're going status quo here with the way we approach building a roster and building a team. And we made important changes at coaching, and here we go. And, he, of course, he mentioned injuries and then always said, but I don't want to mention injuries. One time he did actually specifically name the 49ers and said, teams like the 49ers.
Yeah, I think that's important to note.
Yeah, because they were just as decimated by injuries. Their quarterback missed how many games?
And they didn't collapse.
They didn't. Not only did they not collapse, they made the playoffs in probably the toughest division in the league and got to the division round.
So very much status quo from the front office. What did you think of that?
I don't mind like talking about the injuries on the offensive line. I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's fair.
I don't think that's a reach. Because when healthy, Lee, that's a hell of a unit. We're all in agreement on that.
Yeah, in 2024, I thought at worst the Bucs were the third best offensive line
in the
game.
And that's a credit to Light. Like,
yeah.
You got to give him
and
that.
Then last year, and then last year, not once did Mayfield have the starting five in front of him.
Now,
well, I want to say this real quick. The offensive line, if you go down the line, yes, there were injuries, but they did also take a step back. Tristan Wirfs, maybe it was the injury.
He didn't play that great.
Luke Getteke, I've gone back and watched that critical game at Carolina, and Luke Getteke's four penalties, didn't know what the hell he was doing, killing drives. That's all mental. I don't know what that was all about.
And Barton might have went
and
back
Barton
a
had took a step back last season. So it's a little murky whether the line played as well as it did when they were on the field as they did the previous year.
But to be fair, injuries could have affected Wirfs even when he was on the field.
Yes.
Getteke also.
Lee and I had a someone very much in the know from another organization who said to us, the Buccaneers, during a certain game late in the year, looked, quote, like a team that hadn't played together, an offense that hadn't played together in a long time.
Direct quote. From someone who would know.
On another team.
The offense had no rhythm, Lee, throughout
the
season.
No, it didn't.
Very, very little.
And I think you could, it's because of the line. That and the running game took a backseat. You know, Bucky was hurt.
As far as this status quo thing, Lee, first of all, what do you expect Light to say? They're not going to make cataclysmic structural changes, procedural changes.
He could say we're going to have
He's not firing five scouts. He's not doing that.
But he could have said, we have a little different approach this year. You're all going to find out, you know, something
Well, Lee, they better damn sure be aggressive in free agency. They have to.
You know what?
Because that's going to shape your draft.
Well, not just that. If they're not aggressive, and again, I don't want to bang on David Walker here. And I'm not trying to, and I don't want to. But let's say they're not aggressive in free agency, and they really, really believe he's going to be the next LC Greenwood. Yet he's never completed a padded practice. He had one padded practice and blew his knee up. You can't do that.
That's not going to go over with the Glazers, Lee.
It shouldn't.
That's not going to go over with
it
the
It shouldn't
Glazers.
Go over with Bowles.
We're counting on David Walker to make a big deal. No, the Glazers are not going to buy that.
It should not go over with anybody, whether it's Light, whether it's Bowles, whether you name it. It should not go over with anybody. A guy who's green as grass, and you expect him to come in and get 9 to 11 sacks? Come on now.
I'll say this. I'm confident that the Buccaneers expect to draft two rookie starters in this draft.
Okay.
You agree with that, guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair.
One of them could be a tight end. Could be.
Could be.
Could be.
You're on the kick of the tight end kick.
Could be.
Could be.
But when you start to look at the roster, I can see how the Bucs are thinking, well, we're going to draft two starters.
Maybe a linebacker. Maybe a linebacker.
And if they re-sign Mike Evans, which I certainly believe a lot more than a lot of other people, Lee leans toward Mike Evans coming back for sure.
Yes.
So if they re-sign Mike Evans and they're thinking, all right, we're going to draft two defensive starters and we'll deal with it at tight end because we got so many other weapons going on and we'll get a running back late that can contribute. I don't see Light doing anything crazy. I really don't.
Lee, can you bank on rookie starters to make an impact?
Well, there you go. It's a roll of the dice. A first-round pick better be starting because you got a major investment in him.
Most excellent teams, wherever they are, they've got two rookies contributing at least in a big way, maybe three or four. But
I'm not sure two gets the job done on defense.
I agree with you.
Let's get to Trey Hendrickson.
All right.
Because, Ira, Adam Schefter, the guy with the pipeline to Mike Greenberg, the assistant GM.
He said goodbye to Cincinnati today. He's gone.
He didn't get the franchise tag. And at the combine, he told Barstool Sports that Trey Hendrickson wants to stay in Florida and the Jags can't afford him.
He said Hendrickson wants to stay in Florida. He lives in, is it Ponte Vedra, the golf place right south of Jacksonville? Yeah.
So
he lives there. He wants to stay in Florida. And he's from here. He went to Warm Sapp High School in Apopka.
He did, Apopka High School.
And Schefter bluntly said he thinks Hendrickson wants to go to Tampa. He said it twice.
If Jacksonville ponies up the money, it's not a bad spot for Hendrickson. It's not a bad spot.
Oh, it's a hell of a
playoff team.
Yeah,
well, it's a hell of a spot, and they've got another.
He didn't have to move.
Top shelf edge rusher, but they don't really need him, and that's not in the sense of their needs per se. But Hendrickson, Ira, what's your thought there? Because the bottom line is he's 31, he's coming off abdominal surgery, and he's a hell of a player. But 31 coming off abdominals.
Lee, what I say for Hendrickson is he had 4 years with at least 13 and a half sacks when he was healthy. When he was healthy. Last year, he wasn't healthy.
When he had seven?
And I think he only played maybe seven games. He gets a lot of pressures, a lot of tackles for loss, his share of forced fumbles. Now, Lee, you're not going to like this. He's also got some passes defended. He does.
Yeah.
He does with Cincinnati.
I'm not anti outside linebackers dropping back. I just think Bowles goes way overboard.
I will say this, Lee, and I think you'll be with me on this. He will hit free agency, and there's going to be a little bit of a war for his services.
Well, I'm sure there is.
There's going to be five teams after him, including maybe Chicago and some others that think they're close. Now, I think the Buck Brass thinks they're close. I'm not sure I share that necessarily, depending on the offseason that they have. Mm-hmm. Right now, that's not close. That team's not close.
Four sacks in seven games for Hendrickson.
He's a premier pass rusher.
When healthy, yes, sir.
And he doesn't have a history of getting hurt.
I want to say dating back, well, this decade.
You know, his first 2 years, he didn't even play. He doesn't have a lot of traction.
Let's say he can command 2 years, $50 million, which is not crazy money for a pass rusher. He turns 32 in December.
Not a long-term commitment.
You think that's in the Bucs' best interest here, Ira?
Well, we don't know what's going on with Max Crosby.
Or do you look more toward the one-year opportunity? Maybe bank that Bosa stays healthy again.
You're still pushing Von Miller over there, wise guy?
Von Miller's out there. And there's also, of course, Bradley Chubb, who is younger and also coming off a full season, but he's had an injury history, but he can get after the quarterback.
Chubb's a 7.5 guy. This guy's a 14 guy. It's a difference.
Doesn't Hendrickson, I want to say off the top of my head, this decade, has like 74.5 sacks.
He's got 81 career sacks, and he didn't even play his first 2 years. He didn't play much.
Yeah, he didn't play much his first 3 years.
Well,
which
three
is,
years.
You know, just goes to the development. It's interesting. Late bloomer guy. Well, what do you think, Ira? Let's just say, give you a hypothetical. Mike Evans comes back to the Bucs. We're going to talk about Evans a lot.
Which is a perfect indication that the Bucs think they're a playoff team. Bringing Evans back. Otherwise, you don't bring him back. Okay, go ahead.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And we know, Lee and I know, that the Bucs are prepared to and have the ability to manipulate the cap quite a bit. They're not worried about room. And if they want something,
that's why I don't buy this thing about Jacksonville, Steve. They could find a way. They could find a way if they want him.
Lee's talking about Hendrickson wanting to go there, not Jacksonville dying to bring in Trey Hendrickson.
Is he going to turn down big money to go to Jacksonville? Big money?
No.
So what do you think? They bring back Evans. Do you like the approach of going after a Hendrickson, or do you prefer maybe trading for somebody? Because I don't think Jason Light wants to give up any draft picks.
And no, he never does.
Well, that's the beauty of Hendrickson, as opposed to Crosby. Not on the contract. He's got to be somebody the Bucks take very seriously.
They got to
look
so.
At him very seriously.
I would hope so.
He's not. He doesn't have an injury-riddled career. He was injured last year.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, he didn't have a history of being hurt. And very productive. Did he start with the Saints?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Why the hell they let him go? I'll never know.
Like Steve said, the body of work, it wasn't a whole lot there.
Money. No. He had a great last season in cash.
Last season,
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But he, off his rookie contract, they couldn't afford Cam Jordan and him, and they're always in salary cap hell anyway.
I don't think the Bucks are in bad cap shape, Lee. I really don't, especially if David or Evans doesn't come back, one or the other. I don't think both of them are coming back.
That's fair.
I think one might retire, one might move on. I don't really trust Evans' agent at this point. I don't know what he's trying to say. But let me say this, Steve. Let me throw this out there right now. Volume receiver. Lee, he's not a volume receiver. He never has been.
Ira.
He's not a volume receiver, Steve.
This is the nonsense.
He's never come close to 100 catches.
He's got that stat.
It's nonsense.
Look, his agent and other associated clowns have been peddling this insulting nonsense about Mike Evans that he wants to go where he can get high targets. Now, Ira, Justin Jefferson and George Pickens, Ira, they were both top 10 receivers and targets last season. Top 10. They only averaged one more target than Evans per game. And Evans lost chunk of a game with an injury. He was coming back.
I think it's a red herring, Lee. I think it's a red herring.
Evans has averaged 8.5 targets a game since 2019.
That's a good number.
There were only a few guys in the league that even hit 10 targets last year. Evans, it's insulting to think a team-first guy.
That's a good number, Lee. Nothing wrong with that, 8.5.
It's insulting thinking a team-first guy like Mike Evans is going to ask, well, how many targets am I going to get? What good coach in the NFL is going to say, well, we'll guarantee you 9.5, Mike? No one's going to say that.
And enforcing the ball, yeah.
And
that's one of the things we love about Evans.
It's
He's
stupid.
Not a diva.
It's beyond stupid.
We love
stupid.
That about Mike Evans.
He'd be the number one receiver in Tampa. The Bucs are the only team that would go out of their way. They proved it. To make sure he gets 1,000 yards. No other team is going to do that.
He likes the quarterback.
It's just stupid. And there's a lot of media that believes it. He wants targets. Come on. Mike Evans is sitting there saying, well, call Buffalo and have them tell me how many targets I'll get.
Now, Lee, I think what is legitimate is ultimately how Evans is going to look at this roster. And whether he thinks, could this team go a long way? That's legit.
That's why I'm 35%. He won't come back because I saw his reaction in the tunnel after that debacle against Atlanta. And I'm like,
you think that was significant, right?
Yeah, I think that was significant. And I think, and Bolt, was it Bowles or Light? I think I asked Light about this. I knew it would bristle them. And it did. When I asked, are you going to do a sales pitch on Evans, given the fact that, you know, you missed the playoffs and how he reacted after the Atlanta game? And right now, you don't know if you're going to make the playoffs this coming year. And I think it was Light I asked it to.
Yeah, Jason Light said.
No, I don't think so.
He said, we talk all the time. He said, we see, quote, eye to eye. And he believes in the talent, knows the talent we have, what we can accomplish. And I believed Light. Why would Mike Evans think his team sucks? I mean, I get that in the moment, 3rd and 28, and he's screaming in the tunnel. He's thinking, our defense effing sucks, and this is unbelievable. Yeah, but that's an emotional moment. I don't think that lasts.
All right, I got a crazy question. Lee, you got to give me that look. Give me the DeKemper look. What are you smoking?
No.
Let me throw it out there. Maybe I'm jumping on this guy too much. Sonny Styles is sitting there at number 10. Jason Light can give up a number 3 and move from 15 to 10 and take Sonny Styles. Is that crazy?
I think that's a bargain.
It'll cost more.
Yeah, I think it's a bargain.
They could ask for two.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. If the trade is on the table, that Light only has to give up a third, he's out of his mind if he doesn't make that trade.
All right, Ira.
Because Styles is that
he's a game changer, yeah.
Yeah.
Sensitive issue here, Ira.
Oh, I don't know.
He doesn't have leakage.
I don't know if I like sensitive issues.
Sensitive issue. Ira, you have told me and Lee that if Mike Evans gets a big offer from another team, let's say $30 million guaranteed for 2026, and a second year on the contract.
Gee, that's a big offer.
Well, Godwin got a bigger $30 million offer, and he's coming off a nasty injury.
Somebody offers him $30 million for 2026, $25 million for 2027 with a chunk of the second year guaranteed. You told me and Lee, if it's that much, you got to say goodbye.
I'm sticking with it.
You stand by that statement.
I stand by it.
Why?
You know what Light said a few times, which I liked, and fans don't really get this, but Jason Light doesn't look at things the same way as Todd Bowles does.
Nor should he.
Nor should he.
Mm-hmm.
Nor should he.
And that's not a knock on Bowles. He's got a different job.
You know, Light's the guy with the board up there with the contracts through 2028 and how old these guys mm-hmm. are going to be at that mm-hmm. point. And that's what he does.
Yep.
With Greenberg
mm-hmm.
and your friend Jackie Davidson and whatever. And that's what he should do.
Yeah.
Bowles ain't doing that.
No.
And he shouldn't.
Yeah.
Bowles wants the best players
yeah.
for 2026. So I'm saying for the long-range health of the Bucs, Lee, they might be able to take that money and sign another defensive free agent.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Who doesn't love Mike Evans? Who doesn't love
exactly.
him? But, Steve, at some point, the old Bill Walsh thing kicks in.
Yep.
You know, move on. You got if it's not financially smart, you move on. And I think they can get by without him. If they get another tight end, maybe, that can go downfield. I mean, I like Jalen McMillan. Am I the only guy that likes Jalen McMillan?
I was very impressed with the short window he had last year.
You like this guy or you don't like this guy?
Let me ask you this a different way. I guess I like Jalen McMillan. Let me ask you this a different way.
You're too hung up on nostalgia.
No,
hung up on a guy that's going to be in the Ring of Honor in a few years, which he is, and in the Hall of Fame, which he is.
I'm not hung up on nostalgia. No, I'm not. No, all right, let me ask you this way. Do you think if the Bucks don't sign Mike Evans and they go out and they sign Trey Hendrickson and they sign one of the
Devin Bush or
real good quality middle linebackers that are available out there, do you think they can win a Super Bowl without Mike Evans and adding the guys at those two positions?
I think
that's a simple question.
The answer is they'll be a better team than with Evans and without those guys. That's what I'm saying.
Can they win a Super Bowl? Because Trey Hendrickson, he's a short-term guy, Ira. If you don't think you can win a Super Bowl, please don't sign Trey Hendrickson. We don't need the tease.
Well, I mean, a healthy O-line and Trey Hendrickson and a middle linebacker and a tight end with the 15th pick, why can't they win 11 games? Now, the last time I said win 11 games, they won 8. So, you know.
No, you make a good point. With you add those kind of players with a little bit of health, 11 games is reachable. Absolutely.
Well, if I don't think I can win a Super Bowl, then...
Then why are you bringing Mike Evans back?
I'd rather have Mike Evans than Trey Hendrickson.
No.
If I got a pick. No?
No, not at this point in the buck. The front seven is such a huge, huge problem. Receiver is not.
It will be without Mike Evans.
It won't be a huge problem. Not a huge problem.
Not huge, no, but it'll be an issue. And then you got to pay Cade Otton or draft a tight end. Or somebody.
All right, so you draft the tight end. I'm fine with that. You take the Sadiq kid at 15. He can get downfield. Lee, I'm sorry. I got to say it. I'm the only guy in the world that says it.
What's that?
Mike Evans isn't the same player as he was at 28.
No.
He's not. You didn't factor that in either, Steve.
Well, you know what? I gotta tap the brakes on that.
And I don't care what he did in that one Atlanta game.
Well, I see what you're saying. Okay, he didn't play in the game. He didn't play X amount of games, so how could he be as good at 28 when he played a full season? But, man, I did see him every training camp practice, and the guy was unbelievable. No way you thought he was 30.
He didn't have a great year, Steve.
We know what happened to Mike Evans. If somehow in...
Stop twisting this thing around over
in
here.
In fantasy land, if somehow Mike Evans comes back after the Atlanta game... Now, we watched him play great against Atlanta.
He was.
In those final three games, was it? Or four? Whatever. In those final games, if somehow Liam Cohen fell from the sky and became the Bucs' offensive coordinator again, do you think Mike Evans would have had a quiet final few games?
True.
I look at Cohen more as what he did with the running game. That's the first thing I think of with Cohen. And he did a hell of a job in Jacksonville mm-hmm. with the running game. I think that's his forte, Lee.
Seems that way.
He made a huge difference.
Lee,
in the Bucs running game.
He won't pay Mike Evans $30 million.
I'm not giving him $30 million, Lee.
I understand why it's a tough decision. I do.
I'm not doing that. Not if I can get some defense. Not if I can get some defense.
I'd have to think long and hard.
I know what you're talking about, get some defense, but it's still a gamble. Who knows if Trey Henderson's coming off surgery. Sorry, we went with him instead of Mike Evans. That's tough.
Evans is more of a sure thing is what you're saying.
I think so.
Yeah. You know him because he's been here forever.
Maybe I'm banking on Chris Godwin to have a better year. Maybe I'm banking on
him. Which he should. Which he should.
At Buka's, he's not going to be invisible again for eight games.
That was one of the most puzzling things
Steve,
I've ever seen.
That's not going to happen, is it?
I haven't seen the football you have, Ira, but I don't ever remember seeing any receiver, forget rookie, that dominated like he did for half the season.
It was startling.
And vanished in the second half. And he was not injured, allegedly.
We know whose fault it was. Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, it wasn't their fault. They're there 24/7. They know how to attack difficult situations. Owner Josh Martin, he has got the Ira Kaufman discount for everyone when you call Florida's Elite Restoration. Just mention you heard about them from Ira or Joe Bucks fan. And if after your free inspection at your property, if you need their services, you'll get $500 back if you sign up with them to restore your property. They're phenomenal at that. They can do all the work, too. One-stop shop. They can replace your kitchen if you had a flood. But if you see water damage or mold, you call them right away, and they will respond right away. They cover the whole Bay Area. 5-star Google reviews across the board, Ira, which is almost impossible. Just go read all their Google reviews. Some companies hide from those reviews, not Florida's Elite Restoration. Check them out. They love the sage. And what else can we say? I mean, I feel comfortable knowing they're there for me. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
He wants to be on this podcast, Steve. You keep holding him off. You can't hold him off forever.
No. We're going to – Lee's got it right. We're going to go to the headquarters. We'll corner
Josh.
He's
a big Buck fan, right, Lee?
Of course he is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's not going to agree with you on some things, Ira. He's going to slap you around. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, look.
Wait, the easy thing is for me to say, give Mike Evans whatever he wants. That's easy.
That's very easy.
I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that.
You think if Mike Evans says, look, I want what Davante Adams got. I want what Stephon Diggs got. 2 years, $47 million, $45 million plus incentives. Do you give it to him?
How about a one-year deal? Can I get him for 1 year? I mean,
how about 2 year with an option year?
He's going to say, Davante Adams got two, Stephon Diggs got two, other teams want me.
Well, he's better than Stephon Diggs any day of the week. I'll say that. I'm not going that far.
Yeah, he's much more dependable, too. Yeah. You don't know about Diggs.
I like the Buck receiving core. I have faith in him, especially if you can upgrade a tight end. That's a key.
He's on a tight end
kick. I'm on a tight end kick, Steve.
All right, so Cade Otton, he's going to have a market.
Yeah, he'll have a market.
We don't know what that is. He's going to have a market. Free agency. The dinner bell rings at noon on Monday. Teams will be able to start negotiating with Otton. He could be one of those guys who within 20 minutes is announced he's going to reach an agreement with whatever team. But we know there's not much behind Otton.
No.
The Bucks, there are going to be other free
not
agent
much.
Tight ends.
It's pretty barren.
Yeah.
They got guys like Isaiah Likely. He's out there. The Baltimore
there's other guys.
Guy. You know, I'm not sure he's an upgrade on Otton. I'm not sure about that. Played behind Mark Andrews in Baltimore.
And wasn't there a third tight end that's supposed to be so good?
Maybe.
Was behind Andrews as well, buried on the depth chart.
If the Bucks re-sign Mike Evans, do you think that makes them feel more likely that, hey, we've got a chance to have the best offense in the NFL now? We got Abuka. He's going to straighten things out second year. Chris is healthy. Mike's back. We got the good coordinator now. Do you think that makes them more likely to want to re-sign Otton to make sure they got everything that they know that they can, or less likely because they've spent too much money?
I think more likely to re-sign Otton, bring the gang back, get the offensive line going, a theoretical upgrade at coordinator with Robinson.
Theoretical,
certainly has more experience. Not even theoretical. He did a decent job in Atlanta. Not great. He's not Sean McVay, but, he's decent. Guys, the one thing that, you know, we've talked a lot about offense, and Mike Evans, but this running back situation, it's very curious. Now, you were talking about Jeremiah Love. Now, even you'll admit to me, he ain't going to be there at 50.
I don't think so.
He may go top five. A lot of people think he's the second best player in the draft.
Wow.
And I'm not sure Mendoza's a better prospect than this guy.
You're probably right.
Yeah. So forget about Love. But Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones, possible. But
long
anyway.
Long in the tooth, though.
It all comes back to Bucky, and I hate saying it, but at this point, he's a little bit of a question mark.
I agree.
He's a little bit of a question mark.
I agree.
And Bucks didn't need this. This is the last thing they
needed. There's a lot of free agent running backs out there. Jason Light did say he wants Sean Tucker back. restricted free agent. The Bucks have to put a tag on him, a tender, by Wednesday of next week. But he's probably coming back, and I'm sure he wants to. He's got a great opportunity now for Rashad White leaves. Jason Light wouldn't rule out Rashad White coming back. What's your thought of that, even though White's already...
He's gone.
I think so.
Yeah. Lee, what kind of running back do they want? Do they want a short yardage?
A good one.
I mean, Bucky Irving's a good pass catcher, so it's not like they don't have anybody that can catch passes. I mean, Steve, do they want a guy on third and two that can get the job done?
I think they want a good pass-blocking running back. I really do, because they're going to throw the ball a lot. If Mike Evans comes back, you would hope. I still say the Glazers sit in that box and say, "Why we're paying Mike $22 million. We're paying Chris $24 million. Well, we got Abuka. Now, why are we targeting this clown in the red zone?" I think they're going to – not that the Glazers drive the decisions, but I think that they – are going to want to be more of a pass-first team if they bring back
Evans. I like a tight end that can catch 7 or 8 touchdowns, Lee. 7 or 8 touchdowns.
I don't.
Not 12. Yeah, 7 or 8.
I'm on the same page you are.
Ira, you took a slap at Stephon Diggs, so I had to look it up. just to let you know, I'll throw it out to you. Where does he rank all-time in receptions?
All-time?
All-time.
18th.
24th. 942. That's a lot of receptions.
Yeah, but he's never been the player Mike Evans is.
No.
He's never been.
No,
never been.
But he's had a couple of years that may have been better than Evans.
Yeah in
but
Minnesota.
Not the career. Yeah, he was good in Minnesota. He was.
Ira, look, so fans are panicked about Mike Evans.
Oh, by the way, you didn't mention Buffalo. Could he go to Buffalo?
We've talked about it before. We'll see.
Cold weather? Buffalo?
I just think it's interesting that his agent tried to use the ruse that weather was going to chase him out of Tampa. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, that's another crazy thing.
I find it hard to believe that.
What's this agent doing?
How does anybody, better question, how does anybody in the Tampa Bay media, Ira, actually listen to his agent and not first think, well, everything the guy said is complete BS.
So
we're going to dissect what might be true and pick out one or two things. But it seems like the rest of the media thinks everything he says is true.
It's gospel.
And maybe this is not true.
I think he's doing Mike a little bit of a disservice at this point.
Well,
of the things he's coming up with.
This is the way I look at this guy. The fans aren't Jason Light. And this is why I almost always, can't say I always do, but almost always, stay away from agents. They have zero reason to be objective. They're subjective. They're paid representatives who are trying to get their client and indirectly themselves a cut. They're working for the client. So they're not going to come out there, maybe he's got hamstring problems, but he'll get over it. They're not going to badmouth their client.
And, all kinds of nonsense. And Lee, part of the problem, Steve, and you know this, some of these yokels in the national media, they're so wrapped up with the agents, they never dispute anything the guy says. They repeat it like a parrot. They can keep getting the information.
I know where you're going with that. Florida always points that out.
Yeah. Some agent said that Nick Chubb had a resurgent season last year. No, he didn't. Nick Chubb did not have – I think he was with Houston. So Mixon got hurt and Chubb was in there. And then Chubb had 350 rushing yards.
Yeah, he didn't play that much.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
I was thinking of his brother.
We broke this week at JoeBucksFan.com that Levante David had surgery, knee surgery, cleanup after the season. And – as we record this podcast very, very, very late on a Tuesday night, David hasn't announced that he's not playing or is playing. So what do you think's going on here? What's your thought?
He says he's got a lot left in his tank, Lee.
This is where the Bill Walsh philosophy comes in.
It does.
You know, right now, they're emotionally hung up on Evans and Levante David. I get that. But you also paint yourself in the corner doing that. Now you're caught. It's an emotional issue. And you're painting yourself in the
corner.
You've
got to take the emotion out of it, Steve.
Yes,
that's
you
important.
Do. Yes,
that's
you
important.
Do.
Absolutely. You're wrapped up in the emotion over there, Isbitz.
Ira, how is it emotional? And I mean this in all seriousness.
Because you care about the guy.
Because he's not the same player.
How is it emotional? If three other teams are offering him $55 million for 2 years, that's his market value. We, the Bucks, can't pay him market value. He's going to command that.
Those other teams have lousy receiving corps. The Bucks don't.
As far as Evans or David?
Evans. Those other teams like Buffalo, Houston, they got lousy receiving corps.
All right, well,
the Bucks don't.
Okay, well also, suppose you re-sign
they're
Evans.
They're desperate.
Suppose you re-sign Evans and trade McMillan for a starting linebacker.
I'm not trading McMillan.
No.
No.
But to your point, Steve, about, if three teams offer Evans this, that's his market, you got to go with that. It reminds me of the old saying your mom used to say, that guy jumps off the bridge, that doesn't mean you have to, too.
Lee evoking things from his past over there.
Well, in theory, the only teams that are going to offer Mike Evans that kind of money.
Desperate teams.
No, really, really good teams, because Evans isn't going to go play for some crappy
teams. Good teams with crappy receiving corps.
Bingo. Denver, Buffalo, Kansas City.
Good one. Kansas City. Good one. Houston.
Although he gets triggered whenever I say Kansas City. He's not sure Mahomes is even going to be on the field this year.
By the way, this is
a bad team.
Steve,
you're caught up in the emotion of Patrick Mahomes. You're Chris Collinsworth.
And Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Steve, just
6-11.
I'm guilty too because I brought up
Lee, one more thing on this weather thing. What's the guy's name? Derek, whatever his
name
is. Oh,
yeah, Gilmore.
Yeah, yeah. Steve, for three quarters of the season, the weather's splendid in Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
splendid.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go to Chicago?
Well,
in December?
Here's how stupid that comment was. Mike Evans lives in suburban Houston. In the summer, not the fall, not the winter.
Maybe even more muggy than Tampa.
Right, it's the same. In the summer, he chooses to hire a trainer in South Texas, i.e. Houston, to work outside. Huh?
Did we cover your bases, Stevie? We cover them?
Ira, what do you think is going to happen with Mike Evans?
Oh, you're putting him on the spot.
Come on, what do you think is going to happen?
You think
the Glazers are going to let Mike Evans walk out the door for a few million bucks?
I think the Bucks will make a competitive offer, mm-hmm. and somebody's going to top it. Somebody's going to top it.
And then his wife comes in and says, stay home.
And then Jason Light, in private, to the Glazers, is going to say, it's in our interest to move on.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's what's
So you don't think?
I'm not sure Evans looks at the Buck roster right now as a Super Bowl roster. I think that's a factor. You look at Buffalo, maybe.
You do realize he already won a Super Bowl.
He wants another one.
Yeah.
He wants another one. I'd say 55% he stays, 45% he's gone.
No,
and you have 70-30 that he stays.
65-35.
Oh, 60.
I'm at 88.
He's at 88.
88?
No, it's almost stupid. Almost. not 100%. It's almost stupid.
And if David wants to play, he'll be a Buck.
Yeah, they already told him.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But
outside now, I don't think they're going to pay him very much money. And I think there is a chance at this point, at least a chance, that David waits till after the draft to make a decision. Keep working his knee, see how it feels, see who they pick.
Is that fair to the Bucks? That he waits?
It's fair if he doesn't know.
It's also fair that didn't Light tell him you've got a roster spot if you want to come back?
Yeah, the longer he waits, the less they're going to pay him. So,
don't the Bucks want to know going into the draft if David's coming back?
In a perfect world, sure.
Yeah, damn right they want to know.
I'm on a Sonny Styles kick, Lee.
If I'm the Bucks and David's going to take his time after death, I have to assume he's not coming back. I can't, you know, guess that he won't come back or will come back.
It's like banking on Braswell. You got to move on.
He's not Braswell, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So let me throw this to you. You wouldn't trade Jalen McMillan to the Raiders for a second-round pick?
I don't know that you can get a second-round pick for McMillan.
Probably not.
I don't think he's done enough.
Okay.
I don't think he's done enough.
Plus, you know, some teams are probably still spooked about that neck.
I like his future. I like McMillan.
I like McMillan. I think he's got a bright future, yeah.
You got him and Igbuka.
He'll be all right.
Johnson's not bad. He's not bad. He had 5 touchdowns.
For a 7th-round pick, he's excellent.
Lee, 5 touchdowns for a rookie?
Except he completely disappeared more than Igbuka.
Part of that could be Mayfield. Second half of the season. That could explain some
That's
of
fair.
Too. That's fair.
Because Mayfield stunk.
Ira, what'd you get?
Don't get me started on a backup quarterback. That's a whole nother podcast.
But he's right. You're right. They need one.
Ira, before we get out of here, I got a question for you about what may be the most important question in the scope of the team.
My guitar playing?
No. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there for a new vehicle today. Truck, Lightning, whatever it is, Mustang. And, of course, I remember the noon Thursday, Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Del Mabry Highway, the big 65th anniversary party. Everyone is welcome. And Florida's Elite Restoration is your first phone call anytime you have a disaster at your property. Ira Mayfield, Jason Light did not say that Mayfield is a priority for them to re-sign, but he made it clear on multiple locations that, hey, we believe he's shown us everything we need to see. He's a franchise quarterback. We love him as much as ever. He's this. He's that. He's our guy. We'll worry about it later.
You couldn't be more vague than Jason Light is about Mayfield with a contract extension. You couldn't be. It's like he doesn't know what to say. Lee, if he showed him everything you need to see, why doesn't he have a new contract? Why doesn't
Well, that's a good point. That's a very good point. You know, especially, like Steve says, especially because you sign him to a contract now, you can rig the contract where it will create cap space.
That's right. I don't mind this wait and see. I want to look at him again, too. I want to look at him again.
Me, personally, take the salary cap out of the equation. I got to see a solid year from Baker Mayfield.
You know the one thing that surprised me? Mayfield hasn't had any offseason surgery, no matter how minor. Nothing. Nothing.
Well, that's a good point.
Steve, is it possible he's had some and we don't know about it?
Yep.
I know. I mean,
seems doubtful. He was at the Super Bowl and said he feels great. I don't know.
His shoulder was messed up, Lee. It was messed up. I don't care which shoulder it is. Remember that throw he made, the long throw where he winced and everybody
was Los Angeles, right?
Was that Los Angeles? Everybody winced.
Yeah.
I mean, tremendous.
That was right before the half when he fell.
Tremendous amount of pain.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about backup quarterbacks in the next podcast, Steve. All right, there you go.
We'll hit that, Ira. We'll see if anything changes.
Are you still adamant that Mayfield will get a contract extension before September? Are you adamant?
I think he will, yeah.
Okay.
I think they have to sort out who's going to be here. Now, two things with that. One, it's possible, certainly, that Mayfield's like, I want to know who the head coach is. I want to see what the team looks like first. That's possible. And two, I really do worry about Mayfield going to the Rams to replace Matthew Stafford. It seems like a natural fit. I could see Mayfield doing that if things aren't perfect for him, or at least hanging out, because he's the perfect fit out there.
But it's not a calamity if he does do that, because next year's draft is going to be loaded with quarterbacks.
But Lee, you don't want to go 5-12.
You don't. But if Mayfield wants to go to Los Angeles, and that means you pick a good quarterback for the next 10, 12 years,
which they've never done.
Bucks.
Which they've never done.
No, it's a calamity, though, if the Bucks go 10-7, win a playoff game or two,
and
the quarterback leaves. Yeah, that's a calamity.
That's a calamity.
Well, you know what? You hear a lot of fans say this, and I don't know that they're wrong. You think it's time for this team to just hit the reset button? When you're banking on Lavonte David and Mike Evans.
They could do it after this season.
I think
they're going to give it one more shot.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they'll be fine. I think they're going to play well.
Okay.
I do.
Mayfield leaves, they bring in Kyle Trask. Problem solved.